Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Humanities Center at Texas Tech University is presenting a public talk by Florence Reed titled Food and Sustainability: Farming as if the Future Matters. To find out more about the Humanities Center and this guest speaker, I visited with Dorothy Chansky, director of the Humanities Center. We're happy to welcome to the studio this morning Dorothy Chansky, who is the director of the Humanities Center here at Texas Tech University. Dr. Chansky, welcome. Thank you for your visiting again. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I love coming here.
You are a professor in the theater, School of Theater and Dance, but you're also the director of the Humanities Center. How do you manage all of that?
Well, of course, my official appointment does divide my time in such a way that I don't need to be two people, although it would never hurt to be maybe one and a quarter people. I do still teach in the School of Theater and Dance, a reduced teaching load, but a very pleasurable teaching load. I spend most of my time as the director of the Humanities Center, a job in which I actually wear many hats, some of them intellectual, some of them kind of public relations inflected, some of them involving putting out fires, some of them involving reaching out to faculty and the larger city of Lubbock, some of them trying to put our wonderful humanities faculty and programs on a larger map, and some of my duties involving inviting people from the larger humanities world outside of Lubbock, imagine there is such a thing, to come here and play with us, as it were.
Great. So for folks who may not know, where is the Humanities Center and what is its real function within the university?
Well, our office is in Drane Hall, but we like to think that we are lots of places. We are not part of any one college. Rather, we reflect and try to serve and try to promote humanities endeavors in any college that has them. Most of our faculty of affiliates are in the College of Arts and Sciences, but a whole batch of them are also from the College Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts, and we have a handful of people from architecture and from human sciences, and I'm probably forgetting somebody, but we don't play favorites. And our goal is to support the scholarship that our humanities faculty does, and also to make that scholarship maybe more widely known and appreciated than it already is. I don't think we have problems with appreciation. I think people who know the work of our faculty recognize the significance of the books they write, the talks they do, the way they help students become better thinkers and writers. But not everybody knows about them, and that's a big part of what we try to do.
And to that end, you have a whole series of things that you're doing this year. Tell us about it. Unpack it a little bit for us.
Sure. Each year we have a theme, and the theme is always something quite broad, which is to say something that could be approached a number of different ways, not only from a number of different disciplinary perspectives, like what does a historian think of this, how would a sociologist come at it, but let's assume that the historian and the sociologist are compatible in their thinking. what are different kinds of questions that can be asked about that subject. So our first year, we had a kind of a mouthful theme. It was called Epistemologies of the Observer. What does that mean? Well, what we were after was different ways of seeing the same large phenomenon. And the way I used to think about it was, well, you know how if you do, you go to the gym and you can have several televisions in front of you, and the news channels are all talking about the same phenomenon, but they're not all talking about it the same way. What we were trying to imagine was what it would be like if you had 60 televisions in front of you from 60 different countries. What would they be telling you was real and was on the ground and was happening and was observable and was important? It looks very different depending on who's doing the looking. So that was the first year. The second year, we got a little smarter and pared it down to one word, and the theme was futures. And we said, let's see, Wall Street sells them, science fiction writers imagine them, ordinary people plan for them, futures. This year, our theme is food and dot, dot, dot. Well, food and what? Well, a lot of things you could use to fill in that ellipsis. Culture, food and literature, food and politics, food and environment, food and technology, food and health, food and nutrition, food and inequities, food and media representations, food and sustainability, food and taboo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we wanted to, pardon the phrase, invite as many people to the table as possible. And to that end, we are, as we have in past years, rolling out the endeavor on a number of different platforms. And perhaps the most obvious one, and I think the one to which you were alluding, is guest speakers. So our first guest speaker was here in September, Alice Julier, big food studies scholar. And her talk was called Food and Place. And she was investigating, or she spoke to us about how gentrification has an upside and a downside in inflecting the local. It certainly can help you brand the local, particularly with regard to restaurants and what now is called a food scene. But that may happen at the expense of some local iterations of food culture that perhaps don't lend themselves as readily as some others to the sort of smoothing off the edges that kind of has to get done if you're going to have broad sales appeal. This month, we're very, very excited to have on Thursday Florence Reed, who is the founder of an organization called Sustainable Harvest International. And her talk is Food and Sustainability, Farming as If the Future Matters. So I think one can kind of figure out what her main concerns are. I kind of love her How I Got Here story. She was in the Peace Corps in Panama the year after she graduated from college and was sort of dismayed by all the charred, burned land that she saw because local farmers who were just farming for their own sustenance, I shouldn't say just, that's an endeavor, a large endeavor in and of itself, would burn down forest or land to put ash into the land that served in a short-term way as fertilizer, but also sort of depleted what was in the soil rather quickly, and then they would move on and do it somewhere else. Well, so slash and burn is, let's just say, good in the short run and pretty bad in the long run. And she wanted to assist with that since basically just knowing other techniques is the solution to that. There are other ways you can protect the soil. There are other ways you can farm. And she went back as a volunteer. Actually, she was an employee. And her employer one day announced he wasn't going to pay the volunteers. And in solidarity with the volunteers, she quit. But somebody whom she had met on a sightseeing tour was so taken with her story, he was from Switzerland, that he gave her $6,000 and she started her nonprofit with that. And she works with farmers to learn and maintain sustainability practices. One of the things with which I talked with her briefly, and I hope she'll be talking about it on Thursday night, is, yeah, but what does this have to do with us in the U.S. and with agribusiness? And let me tell you, she's got the answers. But I'm not going to say what they are. You have to come hear her speak.
What an amazing story. That's really remarkable. And she will be here. Tell us the details about when, where, and how she will be here.
Her talk will be on Thursday, November 9th at 5:30 in the evening in the Escondido Theater, which is in the basement of the Student Union Building, kind of in the middle of the south part of the campus. The talk will be about 40 minutes, and then we'll have a question and answer period. And again, I can tell you from having chatted with her on the phone, she's ready for anything. So bring your questions.
Great. That's
It's
that's,
free. Yeah, it's free. Right. It's open to the public. And after 5:30, you can park on the campus.
Right. There's so much to unpack about what you said. This multifaceted approach to whatever it is that you're bringing each year is just fascinating.
We hope so.
Kudos to you for taking that approach. That's really fantastic.
Well, thank you. I can't say I invented it. It's what many humanities centers do. But we're having a great time with it, and I benefit greatly from the input of my colleagues on the advisory board of the Humanities Center, and they're all professors here at Tech. And, they'll tell me if something I've come up with is maybe not a good idea in their opinion. Yeah. So, but thank you. Yeah, we love having a big, broad idea. In the spring, we are hoping to have an exhibit at the Tech Museum. The museum has been a wonderful collaborator. This will be the third year that we'll have an exhibit there because they are so generous and creative. We also have a film series. We had our first film at the end of October. And the three films this year are all food-related. The first one was Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, which was made in Taiwan. The second one is Big Night, which is an American movie, but it's about a couple of Italian-American brothers with a restaurant. And the third one is Babette's Feast, which is a French movie. And we have the appropriate ethnic/national snacks at each screening.
Golly, you've got so many things going on. For people who are listening and are like, oh my gosh, I couldn't quite process all of that, where can they go back and take a look at all of this material?
Everything is on our website. I guess that's a mantra these days. And it's very easy to get there. Humanities Center, all one word, humanitiescenter.ttu.edu. And then all this magic stuff pops up. And we've tried to make it very user-friendly. So we have a link that will take you right away to the annual theme. We have a link that will take you right away to events. And we have, when you click on events, there are public events, there are lectures, film series. It's pretty user-friendly because I'm not so good at navigating websites. So we had to build it so that even I could navigate it.
That's great. What else do you have planned for throughout the year? What else do you have in mind?
Well, we have two more guest speakers coming in the spring. One of them will be talking about food and the military. What is that, you might ask? Well, I'll ask it another way. How is it that when you go into the grocery store, you can count on finding lots of things that you can take home that will have shelf life? Soup that's either canned or that can be brought to life with hot water, condiments, not so much frozen things, but whole dinners that, again, just add water, just heat them up. Well, most of the reason that most of that stuff exists in most of those forms is because of the military. Because if you stop and ask yourself, who needs to be able to package and preserve huge amounts of food, ship it over long distances, and make sure that it gets there in usable condition, pretty much throughout history, it's been the military. And the speaker who's coming at the end of February, has written a book about that. And she'll be talking about that. So hers is food in the military. And then we have a speaker coming on food. He'll be speaking about food and tourism. And this is somebody I've heard speak before. He gave a wonderful talk about Anthony Bourdain's TV show. Well, for people who watch his show on CNN on Sunday nights. He travels the world, and he's fed all these interesting local delicacies, and they always look good, and he says they always taste good. But none of us will ever travel that way, because none of us go around with a camera crew and a CNN budget. And so our ideas about tourism, to the extent that they are influenced by things like television, all I can say is maybe not so much. And then our final speaker of the year, who's coming at the end of March, is Ruth Reichel, a renowned food writer who was both food and restaurant editor for the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times, and was for 10 years the editor of Gourmet magazine. And she also has several delightful, entertaining first-person books about the foods she grew up with, about traveling in disguise to go review restaurants and not wanting to be recognized as the reviewer, you know, wanting to get the table anybody would get, not the one that you give to your star customer. And she's going to be talking about writing about food. And of course, you know, now there's this explosion of food blogs, the food network, food on television. It was not always so. And she can take the long view and give us the historic picture of that. And right after her visit, actually, she will be the beginning of this, we're having our first annual conference, themed conference. And we hope henceforward to have a conference every spring that will be kind of the culminating event of that year's themed events. And I just got through reading the submissions for talks from scholars. And boy, I can say there are people all around the world doing amazing things about food, things I never imagined and about which I can't wait to hear when they all get here.
Wonderful. Forgive me, but it just, everything you've said just sounds delectable.
Oh, well, so, thank you. That's great. The idea. Good.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that we'll be able to see you on Thursday evening, November the 9th at 5:30 p.m. in the Escondido Theater of the Student Union Building for the lecture by Florence Reed that's called Food and Sustainability, Farming as if the Future Matters. Dr. Chansky, thank you for taking your time this week to come over to our studios and visit with us. We really appreciate it.
It is always a pleasure. Thank you.
More information on this event sponsored by the Humanities Center is at humanitiescenter.ttu.edu. This episode of our program will be up on our website later today. Rachel Boyd is producer of The Front Row. Thanks for listening. I'm Clint Barrick.